Today's shir is Masechta Tamid Daf Lamed Gimel. We will begin on Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, the second line at the new Mishnah, Mishnah Hey. Our Mishnah now continues with the Avoida of the Ketiris. Says the Mishnah, Misha Zachar Machta. So in the previous shir we discussed that there was someone, they did a Goyril, who will be the Kayin to do the Avoida of the Ketiris. But as we're going to learn in today's shir, the Kohen needed assistance in helping him do that avoida. So the first person that was going to be helpful to the Kohen was the person who was going to hold the shovel to get the coals off the Mizbeach. And there's a machlokes rishonim who got that job, Misha Zachar Machta. I saw three opinions. One opinion is that the Kohen who won the right to do the Ketiris had a right to choose whichever Kohen he wanted to help him doing the Avoid of the Machta. The second shot that I saw is that the Kohen had the person who was to the right of the Kohen who won that privilege automatically got that job, because if you're going to start picking and choosing, obviously you could come to dispute. And the third shot is that the person who at the beginning of the day had won the right to do the Trumas Hadeshen, which was already long accomplished, was now called upon to help the Kohen with this job. Shemisha Zachar Machta, the person who's going to be doing the Avoida with the shovel, Notl Machtas Kesef, took a silver shovel, V'olo L'roi Sha Mizbeach, went up to the Mizbeach Achitzen, Ufina Esa Gecholim Helech, and he moved around the coals, for holach, for chota, and he took out coals. There's a machloikis if we should keep the wording menacholos pnimius in the Mishnah or not. Many rishonim, as is the gerson, our Mishnah, remove it, because here we need live coals to burn the ketiris. The macholos pnimius were probably already not burning that strongly and wouldn't be that effective for the ketiris. Yard v'ira l'toichan shazov. And now, after he got those coals in a silver shovel, he poured them into a gold shovel. And the reason a silver shovel was used first is because the silver shovel, this shovel was used to pick up the coals, so it easily got ruined, it got rubbed out from being scraped against the coals and against the Mizbeach. And they didn't want to ruin a gold shovel versus just ruining a silver shovel. And even though we've mentioned this point in the previous year on this Masechta, that there's a concept of Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiris, and in the Beis Midrash everything was done in a very expensive fashion, and here we see not, because there's another concept of Torah Chosam Amonim Shal Yisrael, and we've already discussed in the previous year how these two different concepts can be reconciled. One loop shot that I saw is that the reason, even though we should follow the concept of Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiris, the reason that Torah Chosa Am Amonim Shal Yisrael is because the Torah is concerned, wants to show the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to Klal Yisrael. I saw this pshat from Shalom Shvadron. And if I care about you, I care about your money. And therefore, being careful that their kalim, that their vessels, shouldn't get ruined is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. So Yard v'Irmel Tech Shazov, he now poured them into the gold shovel. The spasm in Menekekaf Gecholim. What actually happened is that the first shovel was 4 kav big, held in it 4 kav of coals, and now the second shovel only could hold 3 kav. So 1 kav of coals fell on the floor, which we're going to speak about in a moment. The Rambam says that let's say more than 1 kav fell out and didn't fall into the second shovel. So you don't have 3 kav, 4 minus 1 equals 3. You have to replace it. But there's a machloikas achroinim as to why. Some achroinim I saw explain, because that is the shear. The shear is you have to have 3 kav. And if you have less than 3 kav, the avoid of the ketiris is not being done properly. Like everything else in halacha has a shear, has a specific size. Other achroinim explain that to get the results of having the Ketores done properly, you have to have three kav. So if you can have more than one kav spill out, you don't have enough coals left, and that's why they have to be replaced. So nespazer mimenu kav gecholim, a kav gecholim has been spilled out, vayim chabdim la'oma. So what they did was, there was a canal in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was poured out, they were swept into that canal. Why were they swept into that canal? Many pshatim that I saw. Simplest pshat is because they're hot coals, and the kahanim are walking around in the Azara, they could burn themselves if those coals will be left on the floor. Another pshat is that it's the Noi Hazara. It's not nice that the Azara should have coals that are laying around. It's dirty. You don't want to have a dirty Azara. So that's why they were careful to sweep those coals into that canal. Even though I saw that the Mefarshim do ask that the halacha is that you're not allowed to extinguish a coal, and here they're being extinguished. So one teretz is that they waited till they got extinguished. They didn't sweep them away. Another pshat is that you're not allowed to extinguish them for no good reason. Here, extinguish them for the reasons that we just gave, so therefore it's mutter. Another pshat is that it's nasis mitzvasoi. The mitzvah has already been done. Their mitzvah was to be used to pour from the silver shovel into the gold shovel. What you needed them for has been done, and therefore you could now pour them into the canal, even though they will get extinguished. Another question that I saw is that the halacha is that anything that comes into a kli sharis has kedusha in it, and that kedusha has to be preserved. You can't let it go to waste. So once these coals were picked up by the silver shovel, they have in them a kedusha. So how can you take that kedusha and just pour it down the amma? So I saw two terutzim to that as well. One teretz says that the silver shovel is not considered a kli sharis, that it should give kedusha to the coals that are in it. Another teretz that I saw is that when the coals were scooped up with that silver shovel, the kavana of the kohen was that only the coals that will ultimately be used for the ketores should have the kedusha. Anything else should not have kedusha. Ubi Shabbos, but now on Shabbos you have a problem of sweeping them into the canal because it's a mlocha kibui. Ubi Shabbos are you koifin alayim psachter. On Shabbos they would put a pat over it, and it says the Mishnah, and the Mishnah will describe the Psachta. So Mefarshim asked the question. The halacha is, Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Something which is only Osmed Rabbanon is not in the Beis HaMikdash. So let's think about this. Why are you not allowed to put coals into the canal? Because it's the Malach of Kibui. It's the Malach of extinguishing. But here, this is not called extinguishing because it's a malach shenetzrich l'gufa. Because the malach of kibui deraisa is only in a situation where you want to make it into a pechem. You want to have a coal. Here, you just want to throw it out. So why is it asur on Shabbos that you have to put a pat over it? So Mefarshim explain that even though there's a rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash, the rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash is only said where it's obvious what you're doing is a Drabonah. Over here, when you're extinguishing the coal, and yes, you have no intention of making it a Pechem, and that's why it's a Moch Shen Tzrich L'Gufa, and that's why it's only Osam Drabonah. That means I have to know what's in your mind. A Shvus that's not obvious that it's only a Drabonah, it requires us understanding what your intention is not considered a drabonon that we should have the rule of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. No, just kind of cover it. So they put over the kli, Upsachta ha'yu kli godl, it was a large pat, Machsek is lechetzach, that could hold it in a lesach, V'shtei shesheres ha'yu bo, there were two chains attached to this pat, Esher echad, Shemay Shechba V'Yayrid, one that he pull in one direction, Vechad Shu Oiches Ba Milmala, the other one has a chain on the other side of it, B'Shvil Shlechitz Galgal, in order that it shouldn't roll down the ramp. So the way the Mefarshim explained this line of the Mishnah is as follows. The pot had a round bottom, as most pots in those times did. And the pot was used, as we'll see in a moment, to carry things down the ramp. When you have something with a round bottom and you're schlepping it down the ramp, it's very easy to tip over. So what they did was they put chains on the two sides of it, one coin holding it on one side, another coin holding it on the other side to keep the balance that it shouldn't tip over and spill out its contents. Says the Mishnah, there were three purposes that were used for it. One is to put on the cholim that we just spoke about. If a sheretz is found in the base of Migdosh, a dead sheretz is tamei, so they covered it over. So actually, this issue is discussed in a Gemara in Masechta Yuma, and there's a machloikus tanoim. Rav Shimon says, if a sheretz is found in the actual base of Migdosh, even on Shabbos, they removed it. The only time they didn't remove it was it was found in the Azara. Rav Akiva is even more lenient. He says, it was found in the base of Migdosh, or was found in the Azara, they would remove it. Something Tameh being in a place that's Kaddish, we can't leave there. When did they take it out? They took it out. When did they cover it on Shabbos? It was found in one of the Lishkos, or that we'll discuss extensively in the next Masechta. The Mefarshim ask, going back to what we discussed a moment ago, that a sheretz is certainly, the issur of carrying the sheretz out is issur muksa. It's not really even an issur muksa, because the halacha is that a graf sharei, something which is very disgusting, is not muksa. You could carry it out. So this sheretz should be considered a graf sharei. So we actually have a double question. First of all, we have a question of ein shfus b'migdash. There's no muksa. There's no drabonon in the base of Migdash. Muksa is a drabonon. And furthermore, it shouldn't even be muksa because it's a graf sharei. So the question about muksa, ein shfus b'migdash, the paiskim say two terutzim. One terutz is the muksa is considered a very serious drabonon. And therefore, even though most Rabbanans don't apply in the base of Migdash, the Rabbanan of Muksa does. That's one teretz. Another teretz is that, yes, technically a Rabbanan you could violate. There's no problem with a Rabbanan in the base of Migdash. But that doesn't mean we should violate the Rabbanan if we have an option. Here we have an option. The option is to cover it. So since we have an option, that's what we should do. But then, the other question that it's a graf sharei, and therefore it shouldn't even be considered muksa. From here the Paiskim say that we have to be very careful before we label something a graf sharei. It isn't that anything that we don't want to have around automatically becomes a graf sharei. So here, just because it's a sheretz doesn't mean that it's considered in the category of graf sharei. But now the Mefarshim ask a different question. We learned the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem Gimel. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Ain keli nitel el letzarech davar nitel. If you have something that you're not allowed to touch because it's muktzah, you're not allowed to take a keli on that, on behalf of that. So here, how could they take the pot, which is not muktzah, on behalf of the sheretz, which is we just said is muktzah, you're not allowed to take it. Ain keli nitel el letzarech davar nitel. So here they answer that we will apply the concept of ain shvus b'migdash. At the end of the day, this is only the rabbanon that doesn't apply. Or the other teretz, they say, it's all connecting what I just said a moment ago. At the end of the day, this is a graf sharei. So yes, we're trying to avoid picking it up. But in a situation where we have to take, it's not going to be that usur that the rule of en keli nitel el tzarech davar nitel. And the third teretz is, we have a situation of a hefsid. Because if the kohen comes in contact with the sheretz will be tamei, with very serious consequences, so therefore they waive the rule of en keli nitel el tzarech davar nitel. And now says the Mishnah, the third purpose that this psachta was used for, omeridin by sedesh me'al gabe mizbeach. As we said before, not necessarily every day, it's machlokes if it was every day, but certainly often enough they took off all the deshin. I'm not talking about trumas deshin. I'm talking about a tzos deshin from the mizbeach. They had to put it into a vessel to carry out. This was the vessel was put into. Continues the Mishnah. Higiyu ben ulam ha-mizbeach. And again, we're continuing the avoid of the Tyrus. And they come to the area between the ulam ha-mizbeach. We're going to learn in the next Masech that it's about 11 amos big. Notl es ha-magreifa. Noch ha-echer es ha-magreifa. Somebody took the magreifa. V'zorka ben ulam ha-mizbeach. So the machloikis, what was the magreifa? Some say magreifa was a shovel. and they threw the shovel down, and it made a very big noise. Others say that the Magrefa was a special keli that they had there for this purpose, to get their attention. And others say, we spoke about earlier in our Masechta, that there was a musical instrument that was called the Magrefa, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. But in that pshat, there's a machlokes, what does that mean? Does it mean that they took this musical instrument and threw it on the floor? That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that they played with the musical instrument, and that caused them to get the attention. And says indeed the Mishnah, Ein Adam Shemei Kol Chaver Bushlaim. One person couldn't hear the other person speak, Mikol HaMagrefa, because of the large noise, the serious noise that it caused. V'shlosh Dvar Ma'asim Mishemeshes. And it has three purposes. Koyin Sheshemei Es Koyloi. If the Koyin heard this sound, Yedesh Echef Ekohanim Nechnasim L'shtach Vois, he knows that the avoid of the Torah is about to commence. V'hu Ratzuva. So he's going to run and get himself tahor, go to the mikveh, kiddush adayim v'raglayim, because as we're going to learn soon, all the kohanim entered the base of mikdash after the avodah v'ktoras to bow down. So you want to be ready for that. Ben Levi shushaymei es koyli, a Levi who hears this sound, yodeish ochav leviim nechnasim ledabe b'shir v'rotzba, he knows that soon is going to come the time for to sing and play the musical instrument with the shira, so he comes running. So interesting pshat. Why is the Levi called the Ben Levi? You should say the Levi. So I saw a very nice pshat. There's a difference between a Kayin and a Levi. There's no one who has the name Kayin. Kayin represents the group of Kahanim. Levi, besides it representing Shevet Levi, Levi is a Jewish name. So to make sure that we don't misunderstand the Mishnah, that we should misunderstand the Mishnah, and we're talking about some individual whose name was Levi, the Mishnah goes out of the way to say Uben Levi. V'roish HaMaimid, and the third purpose that this sound was there for was Hayimaimin as a Tamei Mishar Mizrach. We know that the Gemara Masech, the Tanis, teaches us that there were Kahanim and Levim by the Avoida, but Yisraelim also participated in the Karbonos Tzibur, and when a carbon is brought, its owner must be there. You couldn't have all of Klal Yisrael there all the time. So there were Ma'amadis who represented Klal Yisrael, and there was a head of that group. He was called the Rosh Maimid, and he used to put, at that point, all of the Tameim b'Shar HaMizrach. Why did he put the Tameim into Shar HaMizrach? So there's three pshatim. In the Gemara, I think it's Gemara Masechta Pesachim. One pshat, the Gemara, two pshatim Masechta Pesachim. One pshat is because to keep them separate from everybody, to keep them separate, that they should, you know, not dwell in the basement, not come into the Azara, where they're not allowed to be when they're Tameim. Another pshat is to embarrass them. Here it's your chance, it's your turn to be a Yisrael by the Maimid. How did you get yourself Tamei? Very inappropriate. So they were all there and they were embarrassed that they were standing there. And a third pshat that I saw is that we know that a Metzora, after he becomes Tahor, isn't really completely Tahor until he brings the Kabbanis. So they purposely brought them over there where they should be right there after all of these avoidas are completed, so the Metzora could immediately bring his carbon and have his tahara. Says the Mishnah, Hechilu Olam b'malas ulam. They now are starting to go up the 12 steps to enter the ulam. Mi shazocha b'dishim esbeich apnim v'mnoira. We learned earlier in our Masechta that there were Kohanim who had won the privilege, and had already, to a degree, conducted that privilege of cleaning off the Mizbeich HaPnimi and cleaning off the Menorah. HaMagdimim Lefneim. They entered the Beis HaMikdash before the Kohanim who are going to do the avoid of the Torah. And says the Mishnah, Misha Zoch B'Dish Mizbeich HaPnimi, the person who had already previously cleaned off the Mizbeich HaPnimi, Nichnas V'Notel HaSatani, took off the basket, and he bowed down afterwards. Whenever we have v'shtachve, means pishadayim v'glayim v'yotza. So Mefarshim asked obvious question. Really, this individual had finished his avoida earlier when he had done the cleaning of the mizbeach. So why did he have to come back? He should have just taken it out then. The basket full of ash. So Mefarshim answer. he indeed finished his avoda. But the Kayin, as we're about to learn, who did the cleaning of the menorah, had not finished his avoda yet. Because we learned that the cleaning, the atava of the menorah, was done in two stages. And since the ash of the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the ash of the menorah were put together in the same spot next to the Mizbeach and the Azara, they waited for both of them to be taken out at the same time. Continues the Mishnah. So Misha Zoch B'Dishna Menorah, the Kohen who's going to be cleaning the menorah, Nichnas U'Motza Shtei Neris, Maravim Dalkim. He sometimes found the Ner HaMaravi lit. Medashin as a Mizrahi. So if those, both of them are still lit, the Mizrahi, the more eastern one, he cleans. U'Maniyach as a Maravi, and the more western one, leaves Doilich lit. Shememenu, because this candle remained lit all day. And then in the evening, when the Kohen came to light all of the Neiros in the Menorah, Shememenu Hay Madlik as a Menorah Shebein Abayim. That was the candle from which they lit all the other candles. Matzah Shekava, as we've discussed earlier, till the time of Shimon, there was a Nes. That whenever you came, you found the Menorah HaMeravi lit. Afterwards, sometimes yes, and sometimes not. Matzah Shekava, so if it was extinguished, Medashnoi, so they cleaned it out, Medlik Mizbeach HaOilah. And the way that Rishonim explained it is as follows. If any of the other candles are still lit, so they took the fire from one of the existing lit candles to light the Ner HaMeravi, because the Ner HaMeravi had to be on all day. If, however, none of the candles were on, and the Ner HaMeravi also was extinguished, so where are they going to get fire to light it from? They took it from the Mizbeach HaChitzin. I saw a very nice word from the Satmar Rebbe. We all know there's a famous question, the Beis Yosef's question, that why is Chanukah 8 days? There was no nace in the first day. The first day they found the oil and it lit. The nace was that they had oil for the other 7 days. But the first day, where's the nace that we have an 8 day yomtiv? Many, many truths to this question. He says the nace was as follows, what we just discussed. We just said that not always that the Kohen Gadol find the Ner HaMeravi on in the morning when it came on, when it came into the Beis HaMikdash, and that it should remain lit all day long. And Chanukah, not only did they find oil, and not only did they use that oil to light the menorah, but when the Kohen came in the morning of Chanukah, the first day, the candle, the Ner HaMeravi, was on and remained on all day. So the first day of Chanukah, we commemorate that nes. Continues the Mishnah, Notlus Akuz, Imal Shnia, they took that jug that we spoke about earlier in the Masechta that was used to clean the menorah that had all the leftover oil, v'shtachva v'yotza. So the Mefarshim explain, the Rosh discusses this, that what happened was, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the candle, the Ner HaMeravi, was extinguished. So the Kohen had to put down the jug because he was busy relighting the menorah. Now when he finished relighting the menorah, he picked up that kuz to take it out. Continues the Mishnah. Misha Zocha B'machta, whoever will now have the privilege of pouring the coals on the Mizbeach, some Rishonim say it was the same person that we spoke about before, that took the silver shovel, others say it was a different individual, Tzavras HaGachal Magab HaMizbeach, pour those coals on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, he flattened them out with the bottom of the shovel, and he goes out. So here too, the Mefarshim explain why did he have to flatten it out. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because if the coals are flat, they're more likely to burn nicely versus when they're in a heap. Another pshat is if they're in a heap and now the Kohen is going to put the ketores on top of it, it's very likely that they're not going to remain because it's not a flat surface. And they didn't want that the ketores should spill off the Mizbeach, so that's why it's put on flat. Continues the Mishnah. We learned in yesterday's shiur that the ketores was transported in a spoon that was in a ladle. So says the Mishnah, Misha Zocha B'Ketores, the person who was carrying the ketores into the Beis HaMikdash, Hayinoytel, as a buzzer, mitoicha kaf, took out the bozak from the spoon, v'nosno lahava l'kroivai, and gave it to his friend, nespaza mitaychai, if from the spoon it fell into the ladle, nosno b'chofnaf, all of it was poured into the cans of the kohen who's going to do the avoid of the tyrus. Now says the Mishnah, so we have here as follows. This person was transporting the tyrus, he's pouring it into the hands of the person who's actually going to do the avoid of the k'tiris. But as we discussed in our previous year, the person who did the avoid of the k'tiris only did it once in his life. Chadoshim l'k'tiris, we learned yesterday. So he didn't have any experience how to put the k'tiris on the mizbeach. And we're dealing with fire, literally. So says the Mishnah, umalan de maisai, so we taught this individual havazor, to how to be careful not to hurt himself when he puts the k'tiris on the mizbeach. And they told him, shemetaschema necho shloi tichfa, which means as follows. He's holding the k'tiris in cupped hands. So he has to be careful that the k'tiris, though when he starts pouring the k'tiris, he should start pouring from the k'tiris that's further away from him and then work backwards versus the other way. Because if he's going to work the other way, it's more likely for him to get burnt. Hischel Muradadon Yotze. He flattened out the k'tiris over those coals for the reasons we gave earlier. Says the Mishnah, Loyaya Mak the Makter, he didn't actually do the k'tiris at Muna Imaloy Hakter until he was told by the Mamuna it's time to do the Avoida. Then Hayakain Godl, if it was the Kain Godl who chose to do the Avoida of the k'tiris, because as we keep on saying in our Shiurim, the Kohen Gadol always has the right to choose that he should do the Avoida. So if the Kohen Gadol chose that he should do the Avoida of Ktiris, Hamamuna Aimalai, the Mamuna would say to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol Hakter, do the Avoida, and then Parsha Ava Hakter, he would leave, because no one may be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen does the Avoida of the Ktiris, but this person, the Mamuna, before he left, Vishtach V'yotza, would bow down, Pisha Yadayim Reglaim, and go out. Says the Mishnah, as we just said, the Kohen Gadol has a right to choose that he wants to do the avoid of the Torah whenever he so desires. So says the Mishnah, Mishman she Kohen Gadol nichnas l'shtachvois, if the Kohen Gadol goes in, shloisha oichzimba, there were three people that accompanied him. Echav Yeminai, one on the right side, v'echav Yismael, one on his left side, v'echav Avonim Tavis, one on the stones. So the machlokes rishonim, what does that mean, holding the stones? One pshat is that we know that the kohen had two stones on his shoulders. And since they were heavy, they could cause the garments that he's wearing to schlep on the floor. So there was somebody that would hold up those two stones to make sure that he didn't trip on his clothing. Another pshat that I saw is that the kohen gadol had the avnei achoshen on his chest. And now he's going to bow down. So they had to be careful that he shouldn't bow down and those Avnei Choshen should hit the floor and chip or whatever, so he kept them up. Once they heard the Kohen Gadol, that he was leaving the Beis HaMikdash because he had finished the Avoida of the Tyrus, they opened up the Proichus on his behalf, and he left. So Mepharshim asked a number of issues. First of all, which proichus are we speaking about? Some say it's talking about the proichus of the ulam. Others say it's talking about the proichus of the heichel. Others say it's talking about both proichus. But the obvious question is, we only find that our Mishnah is concerned about the proichus being open for the Kohen Gadol as he leaves. Why are we not worried about the proichus when he comes in? So I saw three answers. One answer is indeed, the Mishnah does only mean when he's leaving. It means every time, in honor of the Kohen Gadol, they opened up the proichus. A second teretz I saw is that the proichus were opened up every morning. And they remained open. So there's no problem. But when, as we said a few moments ago, when the avoid of the k'tiris was done, nobody else was allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was supposed to be so private that the proichus was closed. So when he went in, the proichus were wide open. You didn't have to open it for him. Now when he's doing the avoid, they were closed, so they had to help him. A third pshat, the Gra says a very nice pshat. The Gra says that we know when somebody's leaving the Beis HaMikdash, it's the minig when somebody leaves the Kaisel nowadays, you walk backwards. So when he was entering the Beis HaMikdash, he went forwards, so he can manage, with even if the parach is closed, how to get through the opening. But now that he's walking backwards, because he's leaving the Beis HaMikdash, so you can't, see, he doesn't know how to, he doesn't see. Can't have, you don't have eyes in the back of the head. That's why they helped him open it up. Now, says the Mishnah, Nichnasu Echav HaKahanim Hishtachav V'yotzu. Now all the other Kahanim went in, and as the Mefarshim explained, even though the halacha is that you're not allowed to just go into the Beis HaMikdash without any specific purpose, going into the Beis HaMikdash for this purpose is not considered a bi'ur ikonis. Going in for the purpose of doing pisha dayim v'glayim at this point of the day is considered a real requirement. Continues the Mishnah. Bo v'olu al malas ulam. So we've had five individuals, that's the way most Rishonim explain this Mishnah, who have been involved in the avodah so far. The two in the Beis HaMikdash proper. The Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi, the Dishim HaMenoira, and three Kohanim who were involved in the Ketairis. So Bov Amdu Amalas Ulam. Amdu HaRishonim L'Droi Macheim HaKohanim. So the first Kohanim who had done the Avoida of Dishim is Be'ech HaPnimi and Dishim HaMenoira stood to the Dorum of the Kohanim who had done the Ketairis. Posh Pshat is because the Kohanim who had done the Avoida of the Ketairis are considered more significant. The Chamisha Kelim Biyodim, and they were carrying, holding five different vessels. Hateni Biyad Echot, one of them was holding the basket, which had the ash of the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Vakuz Biyad Echot, the other one was carrying the jug that was used to clean the menorah. Vmacht Biyad Echot, the other one was carrying the shovel that was used for the coals. Vabazik Biyad Echot, the other one was carrying the ladle that was used to transport the Ketairis, the Kaf Ikisuya Biyarechad, and the third one was carrying the shovel, the spoon, and its cover. Ubarcho Esa'am Bracha Achas. Now they said Birchus Kahanim. But the Mishnah says that the way Birchus Kahanim was done now is different than the way Birchus Kahanim is done normally. Elish Mendina, Aymer Maisoi, Shalosh Brachas. Normally, when we do Nesis Kapayim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we turn it into three separate brachas. When Mikdash bracha achas, in the Mikdash they said it as one long bracha. Medina here clearly means outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The reason there's a difference is because in the Beis HaMikdash they didn't say Amen. We, when we hear a bracha, after every bracha we say Amen. So that's why it is separated into three separate brachas. Clearly here, the definition of the word Medina means outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which is interesting because in a number of places in Shas, we have the word Medina, and the Machlokes Rishonim, does Medina mean outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi's opinion, or does Medina mean outside Yerushalayim? This is a proof to Rashi's approach. Even though they didn't say Amen, when they did say Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Lo'ilam Vo'ed, so why doesn't that separate the brachas? So the answer is that we know, this is Halacha by Nesis Kapayim, the bracha is said, they stop the bracha, we say Amen, and then they start the next bracha. By Baruch Shem Kvay Machus Lo'ilam Vo'ed, it wasn't that stop and go, and therefore it's not separated into separate brachas. But Mikdash Hayomim Hashem K'ksavoy, in the Mikdash when they pronounced Hashem's name, they said it the way it is written. Over Mikdash Medina K'nuyov. We, when we say Shem Hashem, we don't say Yudke Vavke, we say Adnus. But Medina Kahanim Noisim Es Yudeim K'negi K'sveim. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, when they did the Nesis Kapayim, the Kohanim put their hands shoulder height. Or Migdash al Gabar Roshayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, they put it above their heads because of the Shechina. Chutz Mikoyin Godel, except for the Koyin Godel, says the Tana Kama, She'ein Magbi Es Yodo L'malam N'tzitz. He doesn't raise his hands above the tzitz because he wore the tzitz, and on the tzitz it said Kodesh LaShem, and it's inappropriate that he should have his hands above it. Yudaymer, Af Kohen Gadol B'es Yodav L'malam N'tzitz. The Kohen Gadol could put his hands above the tzitz. Shenemer, as the pasuk explicitly says, V'yisa Aronis Yodav Ela'am V'yivarchim. So the Mefarshim ask, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, that how do we know that when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, he has to be very careful? Because how do we know when you wear tefillin, you have to be very careful not to be Mesiach Das? Because if the halacha is that when the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, that only has the Shem Hashem once, Kodesh Lashem, he had to be careful. We, when we wear tefillin that have the Shem Hashem so many times, certainly must be very careful. So ask the Mefarshim, if according to that Gemara, tefillin are more chomer than the tzitz, so the regular kahanim, the kahanim ajoitim indeed did not wear a tzitz, but they wore tefillin. So according to the Tanakhama, they shouldn't be able to put their hands above the tefillin. So the Mefarshim answer that even though the tefillin do have the chumrah, they have so many times the Shem Hashem, but the tzitz also has a chumrah. By the tzitz, the Shem Hashem is exposed. You see the word Lashem. In the tefillin, they're in the bottom. And therefore, even the Tanakhama, who holds that the Kohen Gadol was not allowed to put his hands above the tzitz, will agree that the Kohen Hayyid could put his hands above the tefillin. Again, the Mishnah is based on the concept that Kohen Gadol could do any avoid that he wants whenever he wants. So says the Mishnah, "Bizmach Kohen Gadol roitz lahakter." If the Kohen Gadol so chooses that he wants to be the one to put the avrim of the carbon tumid on the mizbeach, hayoyle bekevish, he could go up the ramp. The skan biyaminoi, the skan walks on his right. Even though the Gemara says hamahalich limin rabbi. If somebody walks to the right of his Rebbe, Hareza Bor, Tzamaritz, here the Mefarshim explained two terutzim. Either there was a purpose for it, and that's why it's mutter, or he didn't walk exactly alongside with the Kohen, he walked a little behind him. Higia l'machzis hakevish, they came up halfway. Ochitz haskan b'yaminoi, the skan held onto his right hand. Vehela, and he brought him up. V'hoishaloi harishin, and the first Kohen, who was standing on the bottom with the pieces of meat that we spoke about so much earlier in the Masechta. The first person gives him a roish v'regel, gives the Kohen Gadol the roish v'regel, the samach aleihem, and the Kohen Gadol does smicha. And as the Rishonim explained, even though this is a carbon tzibur, and a carbon tzibur there is no smicha, but here to show the importance of the Kohen Gadol, smicha was done, the zarkon. Then put it into the fire. Hoshe Rashen L'Rishon. And the Rishonim make here too a comment. We learned in our previous year, Machloikas Tanon. Was it the same people who had brought the pieces of meat to the lower half of the ramp that were taking it up, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion, or was it a different person, a new Goyro? It seems that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It was the same people. So what they did was, that they gave that piece, the second person who was carrying the Shtei HaYadayim, the first person remained there, and again, to show the Cheshivas, gave it to the first person, and Hoshir Hashem L'Rishon Shtei Yadayim, he picked up the Shtei Yadayim, Nosn L'Kohen Gadol, and that first person gave it to the Kohen Gadol, all to show the Cheshivas, the Samach Lehem, and again the Kohen Gadol, the Smicha, and the Zarkon. Nishman Hashem Yivalech Lai. Certainly the second person has no purpose in remaining there. The Kachoy Meshitin Lai, and so too do they follow this procedure, Shar Kalvarim, by every one of the Avrim, every one of the sets of Avrim that were kept in that row. Vuhu Samach Lehem, the Zarkon. And the Kohen Gadol will do Smicha, and then put him into the fire. Says the Mishnah, Uvazman Shuhu Roitza, Hu Samach, if the Kohen Gadol is so choose, he will do the smicha, but he doesn't have to actually do the zrika. He could have other people throw the avrim onto the fire. V'cherim zarkin. Bala lahakef es mizbeach. Now the Kohen Gadol had finished putting the avrim into the fire, and now he's going to do nisach hayayin. And the nisach hamayim, as yayin, as we learned, was done on the marovis Deroimus corner, on the southwest corner. So says the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol has to walk around the Mizbeach. And what direction did he walk? Meichnu Maschel, he started Deroimus Mizrachis, where he was standing. From there he went to Mizrachis Tzfoinus. From there he went to Tzfoinus Merovis, until he got to Merovis Deroimus. So, the reason for this is because the halacha, and we'll speak about it in the next Masechta as well, Kol Shpino Shatapino Lo Yehei Ela Deruch Yemin. So that's why he went in this direction, which meant right turns. And even though the Mefarshim say, however, that this was only required to be done when the Kohen Gadol chose to do all of the Avodah. So since the Kohen Gadol chose to do all of the Avodah, so he's standing in one place to put the Avram on the Mizbeach, now he has to get to another place to do the Nisach HaYayin. This is the way the Mishnah says he should get there. However, says the Seder Rishonim, if it wasn't done that way, it was done rather in the way that we described earlier in the Masechta, that each kohen did his Avodah, so there was a kohen that did Nisach HaYayin exclusively. So he didn't go around the Mizbeach, he went straight to where he had to go. Interesting Tshuvas Chasam Sofer. Here we see the halacha is, and this is the halacha, the kol pinush at the point of layayim, you always should take right turns. But the Chasam Sofer asks, what happens if these two, if you have the concept of kol pinush at the point of layayim, contradicts another halacha concept. For example, there's a halacha concept that you should always go, let's say you get an aliyah. So from your seat, there's two different ways. You could go derech yamin to the bima, but it's a longer way, or you could go derech tzor. What do you do? So the Chasam Sofer says that the halacha of kol pinush at the point of lahei al derech yamin is such a important halacha it supersedes all other halachas. Says the Mishnah, nosn lo yayin l'nesach. So now they give the wine to the kohen gadol to do nisach. Haskan oimer al karen. The skan stood. Some say by the karen, on the karen, v'sudrin b'yadai. The reason it was there, because now that's going to be the sign that he's doing Nisach HaYayin, and everybody should start the rest of the Avodah. So machlokes, if this was done only when it's the Kohen Gadol doing the Nisach HaYayin, on all times, Shnei Kohanim Oynim al Shulchan HaChalavim, and there were two other Kohanim standing on the Shulchan near the Mizbeach, v'shtei chatzoytzus b'yodam, and when they got the signal, they had two chatzoytzus, Tiku v'ariv v'tiku, so they did tkiyah through tkiyah, v'amdu etz ben arza, and then two stood next to ben arza, ech miminoi, v'ech mismoiloi, one to the right and one to the left, shoch l'nasech, as soon as the kohen gadol bows down, or the regular kohen bows down to do nisach yayin, v'niv skan b'sudrim, again he gives the signal with the flag, v'hikish ben arza b'tzaltzel, that's when ben arza starts banging the cymbal, the Divra Halavim Bashir, and the Levim starts singing the Shira. Says the Mishnah, whenever they were singing the Shira, and they came to a perek, they were singing a different perek of Tehillim, whenever they ended a stanza, Higiyu leperek, Tiku, they did Tkiya Truva Tkiya, Vishtachvu Am Al Koperek Tkiya. And every time they came to that point, all of the people who were there would do Pishu Daim Verglayim. Well, Kol Tkiya Hishtachavoya. By every stanza, they did a separate Hishtachavoya and a separate Tkiya through Tkiya. And ends off our Mishnah, Zes Seda Tomid Halvim Bashir. Zes Seda Tomid Lavoidus Besel Kenu Yerotzen Shibonab Meheri Yomenu Amen. So the obvious question is that these last words of the Mishnah are very appropriate, but they should be at the end of the next Mishnah, not at the end of this Mishnah. So one teretz that I saw is that the next Mishnah we're about to learn is actually a brisa that just identifies the different prokim that was said every day. But it's not really part of the Mishnah of this Masechta. It's just an added-on brisa. So this is where the Masechta really ends. Another teretz is that the Shira, a number of terutzim that are very similar, the Shira is not ma'akif. If you didn't do Shira, the carbon is kosher. If you didn't sing the specific shira that's going to be identified, it's certainly fine. And a third shot is that when Mashiach comes, the Karav Yemenu, there are going to be different songs. So that's why it ends. But there's another teretz, perhaps. What is the Mishnah saying? Zeh say that Tomid Beis, Lavodis Beis Elokeinu, Yerotzen Shibonab Meheri Yemenu Amen. What we're saying with this line of the Mishnah is as follows. There's man is that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. There's man is that we can't bring the Karban Tamid. How are we yoytz to the mitzvah Karban Tamid? By learning about the Karban Tamid. So that's what we say. Now we were yoytz with learning. HaKadosh Baruch should help. The Beis Hamikdash should be speedily rebuilt and we'll be able to actually do the Avodah. That's when it comes to the Avodah of the Karban Tamid. But Shira, singing to Hashem, we could do that as man is that as well. A Jew could always sing to Hashem. So the Mishnah says, the part of doing the Avodah, we finished. We can't do it. We can only learn about it. And we daven Yirotzon Shibanu B'Mehayah V'Meinu Amen. The part of Shira, we could actually do B'Zman Hazeh. So we don't have to have Yirotzon Shibanu. Do it now. Always sing and thank God. Says the Mishnah, Hashir Shal Levim Oymer Mebeis HaMikdash. So what was the Shira? B'Yom HaRishon Hayo Oymer Hashem Ha'aretz M'loya Tevel V'Yosh V'Vah. Because that was the day, as the Maram Sat Roshan explains, the world was created. That was the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu separated the sky from the earth. We saw his greatness. That's when the world became, we saw the greatness of God, and we saw what Kadosh Baruch Hu could do, and we know how Kadosh Baruch Hu is by every din Torah. That was the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the moon and the sun, and we could see his strength, who he could punish. Where we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the animals from everybody else, we see his greatness. On the sixth day we see the greatness of Hashem as he finished creating the world and created the human being. That's the pshat that most Rishonim learn. The Gra has a different pshat. The Gra's pshat is that the world exists for 6,000 years. And every one of these psukim corresponds to a different 1,000 years of the creation of the world. The Samsofer has a pshat that we know the way it goes with Shabbos is that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are still influenced by the previous Shabbos. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are already a preparation for the coming Shabbos, and these psukim correspond to that. B'Shabbos ha'yomrim, mizmeh shil yom ha'Shabbos, mizmeh shil asot lovoy, v'yom shekul Shabbos amnucha l'chei ha'olamim. Shabbos is when the world will come to Shabbos, to the category of Shabbos, when the Beis Hamikdash, when we have Mashiach, Meher B'Yameinu. A beautiful pshat that I saw at the end of the Seder. People usually aren't saying Divrei Torah at that point. We sing Karav Yoim, Ashu Yoim, La Yoim V'Loi Laila. There's going to be a day when Mashiach comes that's La Yoim V'Loi Laila, not day or not night. What does that mean? Day and night won't exist when Mashiach comes? So my first one say a beautiful pshat. We know during the week, in the morning when you see somebody, you say good morning. In the evening when you see somebody, you say good evening. What do you do on Shabbos? Shabbos, you don't say good morning, good night. Shabbos, you say good Shabbos. So we say, Kar of Yoim, the day will soon come, Shulay Yoim v'lay Laila, that we're not going to greet people with good morning and good evening. We're going to greet people all week long with saying good Shabbos. Why are we going to greet people all week long saying good Shabbos? Because the world will be a world of Yoim Shekulay Shabbos U'menucha L'chaya Olamim. We should be worthy to see that day very soon. Hanukkah was manchukah and gavul slikolach masech the tamid. Hanukkah was manchukah and gavul slikolach masech the tamid. Hanukkah was manchukah and gavul slikolach masech the tamid.